Welcome to episode 38 of the SDG podcast, where we speak about science, technology, gaming, and other stuff. I'm Giovanni, one of the hosts, and today we are all three hosts here, and I'm with Nicole and Juhana. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. I want to already put an emphasis on the and other things.
And other things, yes. But today we speak about gaming, and we started the year speaking about gaming, and we continue speaking about gaming for a while until we find something serious to speak. So, yeah.
Gaming is fun.
Yeah, exactly. So what we want to speak today is our kind of memory experience. We are going to eat some member berries and think about our gaming history. Where did it start and where did you play your games when you were younger, and then how did it go in your life?
Half-Life, Gordon Freeman.
So there's going to be a lot of Half-Life.
probably.
So that
game took a lot. I mean, I know.
But wait. Let's go in the proper chronological order.
What do you mean chronological order?
Like, where did you start gaming? Did you game on a computer right away, or consoles, or?
Who starts?
You go. I need to remember stuff first.
I go. Okay. Well, the first things I remember playing, I think, was one of the Quakes, and then some Worms games. Actually, no. Even before that, there were some shareware games, and they were actually Finnish games which were circulating around.
So this is still PC, right?
Yeah, PC, yeah.
So what PC did you have?
Well, I mean, I have actually completely zero idea about the components. It was my father's PC, obviously.
Okay.
I mean, this is when I was like 6 or 7, so...
All right.
I have completely no recollection of anything. I didn't even know what a PC is. It's just a, you know, thing on the corner which makes games go, wow! Anyway, my first experiences were all kinds of like freeware, shareware games, like Liero, which is actually an awesome game. It's a game where it's kind of like real-time Worms. So you actually play with Worms. Well, actually, it's pretty much real-time Worms. You don't have a team. You actually just have one Worm that you use. And you have three kinds of weapons, and then you have a rope, and then you can eat yourself around in the map.
Is it really, really old graphic, like 5 pixels per thing?
Yeah. It's
Yes. This one was actually in the Electrical Engineering Guild.
Guild,
they had one computer just to play this game. It was always on this game.
Yeah. Yeah, Liero.
Yeah.
Finnish, and it means the earthworm.
Nice.
It was probably my favorite game sort of back then. It was also probably the only game, but I mean, that was some of the best hot seat fun you could ever have. Because you played with up to 4 players, if I remember correctly, at least 2.
So, Nicola, what was your first, or one of the first?
Oh, well, I'm feeling old now, because I was thinking about what was the first game ever that I played, and I can't even remember. But I remember that I used to play the Commodore 64 of my dad, and they were like very old gamings. Like, I don't know even the names. Some of them were like just scripts that you just, you know, read the story, and then you had to type some how to continue. So then you would read the story. But
I never played any of those.
They were very old, and I don't remember the name. But they were like programs, and you had to choose between two words to write and to continue the story. But I was too very little. And but you know, then my si- I had like an older sister, and then she had like some games. I remember Turrican.
Never heard. So what system?
But
is
it's from the 90s, and
yeah,
they're super old. And another one. Wait, what was the other name? Golden Axe, Golden something.
I don't know.
I remember, yeah, because come on, it was Commodore 64. It was the 90s.
Yeah, we were a little bit too young.
I was probably five because it was an old Commodore 64, but my sister and my dad kept it very tidy, and it was working. I remember Street Fighter 2, for example.
Oh yeah,
that I played a lot. But then my first computer landed, I think it was around 1997, when my dad brought home like a small piece of tower with a Pentium 2.
That's
350 megahertz. I still remember because I remember that CPU because we lost the computer. I think they trashed it, or you know, they give it to those companies that where they take electronical devices to, you know, to whatever.
Yeah, recycling.
Trash it. Yeah, exactly. But I remember that I was doing my university in Sweden, and I found that CPU in one of the kind of market that you go when you buy like old stuff, and I bought it. So I actually have it. I don't know if it works, because I cannot plug it anywhere, but I have it. So that's why I remember the CPU. But with that computer, the first games were like Windows gamings, probably. I don't remember.
Do you have any console? Because I started both with the computer, because my father was building the computers and he was also using those. And then I had Super Nintendo was the first one, really.
Yeah, but I had an older sister, so she used to play a lot, and we had from the Nintendo.
Okay, so you had all of those.
Yeah, I think she was a huge fan. I was little. I was like very young, and she was a huge fan of Nintendo. So she also had Game Boy.
Yeah, for sure. That's
the first version.
Come on, good stuff.
And then I remember fighting with her to play Game Boy. So my parents had to buy two Game Boys.
But it's the one of the first game I remember is this kind of I absolutely don't know the name. But it was in the Macintosh 2. Was it called Macintosh 2 or something?
Mm.
Really one of the first. And it was kind of, you had this caravan in the desert. And then you move around. And then every time you can choose, like, here's the hoses. You press on the hoses. And then sometimes it's true or not. If it's not, maybe you die. But if it's true, then you can get the water back. And then sometimes you find some merchants, and then you can get some stuff. And I was just going to my father's shop in the back. He had this computer, and then I was just playing this game. It was pretty cool. Until we got the first computer we got home was a 486, pre-Pentium stuff.
Nice.
And it was cool because my father always used to build his computer, so I learned right away from my father how to build a computer. So we always were there upgrading the computer, and we got the Pentium.
Cool.
233, and then like
cool
Pentium 2, and I don't know, they were, I don't even remember then.
Now that we got to the like old games and old remembrances, I had to Google a couple of games which I really played quite a lot, actually. Maybe even, well, actually, I think I played these before, Leo. These were the old DOS games, which came with, I think, Windows 95 for free. For example, Ski Free, where you're just downhill skiing and you have to avoid trees. And then there's this, I think it's a troll or something. You have to avoid it.
Yeah.
That was one game that I really played a lot. And then I think there was like this Winter Olympics game, or you could do ski jump and like snowball fights and skiing and all these kinds of things. Those were for Windows 95 as well. And then two of games that I really remember fondly were the first Need for Speed, which came in 94, and SimCity 2000, which came in, I think, 94 or 3 or something. Nice.
Did you play other Need for Speed? I remember Need for Speed Hot Pursuit I played a lot.
Yeah.
I think I played... my brothers were really interested in sort of cars ever since they were young. I wasn't really that interested, but they always bought these Need for Speed games, so I played some of theirs because we shared first the PlayStation 1 and then later PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 as well.
Okay, and I had this game, I think it's called Pod. It was really old game. It was a racing game, but like sci-fi weird thing that my father was playing a lot. And then we actually really didn't have consoles. Usually we got the console at the end of the generation. Usually it was just to play Metal Gear. So every PlayStation I had in my life was just to play the Metal Gear on the system. So
nice.
The first Metal Gear, then Metal Gear 2, I had it on the PC also, but that was a piece of crap. So I had the PlayStation 2 for that, and then PlayStation 3 I bought to play the 3 and 4, but then we are going too far. And actually, for sure, Nicola knows, remembers the first StarCraft 1998.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Did you ever play in Johanna?
Actually, never. I've never even touched. I know what it looks like, and I've actually seen quite a lot of matches in StarCraft 1, especially in Brood War, but I never actually played it myself.
Fucking difficult game when you're young.
Yeah, I can imagine. I did, however, play lots of Warcraft 3, but that's already many years later.
Actually, I was playing Warcraft 2 also with some friends. Me and a friend in middle school, that was middle school time, that we were playing Warcraft 2, then we made kind of a card game based on Warcraft, like a magic card game based on Warcraft, and we draw all the cards. I actually found them a few months ago when I was in Italy.
Nice.
The whole package with all the cards we made, that's good times.
Actually, about going back to Metal Gear Solid 1, I also played it a lot, but that was interesting because there was in the small village where I'm from, we had two games at a certain period of time, which were like the games. So if anyone anyone had them, it was always like there was a huge line of people just, yeah, give it to me next.
So you were just passing the game around the village.
Yeah. It's like I think back then there was like 5,000 people in the entire municipality. So probably roughly 100 or less than 100 people who overall played anything on consoles.
Yeah.
But anyway, those two games were Metal Gear Solid 1 and Gran Turismo 1.
And that one.
Actually, people people paid money for sort of distributing saves, because then you had those memory cards for PlayStation 1. And I remember, like, me and my brothers, we somehow got 20 Finnish marks together, and then we bought the save files from one of our friends who actually had farmed 1 million credits in Gran Turismo 1. So we actually paid them real money to get the memory card. Then
so that was the beginning of microtransaction. Pay to win.
Pay to win, exactly. Cool. Yeah, before it was cool. So we got one.
I had a friend that was playing this Gran Turismo a lot.
Yeah.
But I never played it myself, of course, because I didn't have a PlayStation at that time.
Yeah, I think it was, again, one of those games that my brothers were really obsessed about, because there you could, like, tune your car, you could make it faster, and so on. I sort of found it partly interesting, but not that interesting.
It was only for PlayStation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I never played it.
Yeah, the whole series.
It was supposed to be, and I think at the time it was the sort of the most realistic car game ever made.
Yeah, it was extremely cool.
The hype.
Cool.
It had lots of these interesting mechanics where, you know, you have to pass some sort of tests until you can compete against always higher and higher tier of racing. And then you have to, like, you can buy cars and sell cars, and then you can, you know, put different parts in the cars, like make them go faster and so on. And if you have a car which you can't really control well, but it's super powerful, it's good for some races but bad for some other races, so you want to have different kinds of cars. It actually
you had this kind of endurance races that were like really lasting 2-3 hours that you had to drive for 2-3 hours and you couldn't stop driving.
That was I guess at the time it was a very sort of innovative style game. I don't think, at least I've never heard of any game like that before, because all the others were mostly arcade, especially in
Europe. So did you, any of you really play Doom or Quake?
Oh yeah, I did. I wanted to mention this because before buying the computer, when we had that computer, we didn't have any graphic adapter. So there's no graphic card. So I had to play like a 2D stuff, and the Doom was running.
Yes, and Wolfenstein 3D also.
Yeah, but that became afterwards, because I couldn't play the latest game at the moment, so I had to pray my dad, please, can we buy something for gaming? So then we bought like the first graphic card. I don't even remember what was that. I don't remember. But then with that, I could play like more like 3D based game.
Wait, Voodoo 2? You had that.
Yeah, I remember Voodoo 2, and then we passed to Voodoo 3 also. 3000, 3500 probably. I was about to Google it. I don't know if I can find it. Well, but yeah, I remember 3D FX was the graphic card.
And well, my father was playing Tomb Raider on the PC at that time.
Awesome.
And then you're like, oh yeah, this game is cool. And then it's the same as the PlayStation version. But then, well, you play with a keyboard, so it's not the same. But
yeah,
it was actually pretty cool, because with a keyboard you could play that my father was moving, I was shooting, and this kind of stuff.
Oh,
nice.
And then we bought this Voodoo 2 that had, and Tomb Raider was optimized for that graphic card, so the water was like, oh my god, the water, look at this. Then you jump into the water and then you're underwater, and there is a little bit of blur and it's a little bit blue. And I was like, oh, blow my mind, the water. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Another sort of anecdotal point I remember also, it was somehow more fun, even though it actually wasn't, but at least you remember it fondly, and when you got to do something, it was interesting. When you actually had to like play with someone else's computer, so you always had to ask your father, like, oh, come on, let's upgrade this, or can we just get this, or just, you know, get this. And for me, the big thing was actually a DVD sort of like a mount, DVD drive for the computer, because we only had a CD drive, and Far Cry 1 was, I think it came.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Okay, you're going already. We are skipping Half-Life, come on.
We don't have to do this in the chronological order. Anyway, that's already, like, it's still quite a old game, in the sense I think it came in 2004, so it's already quite a long time. Anyway, I was still, at that point we didn't have a DVD drive in the computer, and I read this magazine that sort of gave it like 96 or 98 points out of 100, and basically praised the hell out of the game, like the best game ever, and you know, you have to play this and there's nothing so good. And I was so hyped. I have never been as hyped about anything in my life. I was like, oh, this is the game. I have to get this. So yeah, okay. I went,
don't need a DVD drive.
No, that's part of the story later. So the next, I mean, the only shop where you can buy these kind of games from me was 50 or 60 kilometers away. So I had to, first of all, I have to wait for the time that I could actually go there. You know, someone from the family wants to buy something so I can tag along and then I can buy the game. Okay, so I get the game. I noticed DVD. Well, maybe it works on CD as well. I'm just gonna, you know, go for it. I think it costs like 50 or 40 or 50 euros or something like this. Was it euros?
Well, at the time, it's still. Was it still already euro? Yeah.
I think it was in euros because I think it was like in the very, very first years when euros came. So 2001, 2002, something like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got it, and then I obviously realized that it doesn't work on our on our computer because we don't have a DVD drive. So I try to cry from my father, just get it, because yeah. I don't know what, how much does it cost? Like 20 euros, 50 euros, something like this. I just keep going, come on, we have to get it, we have to get it. I think eventually I had to wait maybe 1 year or 2 years for us to actually get a DVD drive.
So you had this game and you could not play it?
Well, I mean, my friend had a computer which was worse, but it had a DVD drive. So we were able to play it on his computer with the very lowest graphics. You know, it barely ran it. It was like, it was not a pleasant experience, but the moment when you actually got to play it on your computer, good.
Did you finish Far Cry?
Yes, many times, because okay, that was like...
one of the worst ending in video game history.
Yeah.
Well, so many games that have that...
The ending of that game.
Yeah, it's very stupid.
But the game was so good.
I mean, at the time, it was so beautiful.
It was so difficult also.
Yeah, especially on the hard.
It was hard. One of the turning points is,
go for it.
I think 1998 has been the best year of my life, probably, so far. But I think when I discovered Half-Life, I don't even know how I got a copy of the game, because I was reading, PC Gamer magazine, and they were branding this Half-Life, it's cool, it must be, it's like, has the best Metacritic rank. So I said, okay, maybe you should try that. I would like to have this for my birthday. So we bought it, and I think it didn't run because we didn't have enough power. Now I remember that we bought the 3D FX Voodoo 3 for this game, and that was super awesome. Graphic was awesome. The game was awesome. I got hooked up so much on that game, and that I stopped.
I didn't really play Half-Life at that time too much because the 1998 is the StarCraft year, and I was much more into strategy game at that time. I was sucking balls, so I was using cheat codes all the time. But
I got immediately hooked up on FPS games. But I remember that
Quake 3 Arena so much.
I remember that I would try to explain my friends, like my school friends, guys, I'm playing video games, this is actually awesome. And they would not understand me because they would not play in these games because I felt so, oh, come on, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, for me, Half-Life was something that I think I was one of these friends you talked about who didn't get it because I had a friend who was completely obsessed with it as well. And I actually used to, I mean, before Twitch, there was this thing called Real Life. And, you know, a group of friends went to someone's home and then one of us played and the rest watched and said like, yeah, you should do that. No, go there. No, shoot that. No, jump there. No, you have to do this. Now let me show you. So it was like Half-Life was this kind of experience for me. I was basically sitting next to my friend for the entire game. I have played it, but I've never finished it myself. I've only watched it, finished.
On that end of the watching, there was at that time, it was the time of Counter-Strike 1.6 and Quake 3 Arena. And we were doing that at my place. We were like, I always had the best computer in the group because my father was into computers and we didn't have any console, so we just had the computer. So we were playing Quake 3 arena there, and then one place, and then the other look at the game, but then it's everybody's like cheering and you're winning, and and then you're in this trance of gaming that you're playing this game, and then you come out of this game, music and sound is really fucking intense, and then it's the next turn, and then everybody's playing like this, turning all. Or we were actually going to this internet cafe that they don't exist anymore really much in Europe, I would say.
Yeah.
To play Counter-Strike in a group of friends, and then you find some random people there and then you play against them. It was the like LAN experience, and or people coming to your house with their computer and then doing some LAN parties at that time. It was good stuff. We kind of lost that a little bit these days with all the internet everywhere and everything is online. And
yeah. I mean, I guess nowadays always we have to also sort of into these memories. Oh, it was good then. It was good then because we were kids and everything is good when you're kids.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, kids, I mean, that was a kind of...
Yeah. If you have candy and colorful lights, then you're happy as a kid. But overall, I agree, sort of. I mean, I still go to Assembly, which is this large LAN party for thousands of people, or
nice.
Assembly is only for hundreds of people. But so in that sense, I continue doing LAN gaming, but it's completely different from having someone's house full of sweaty teenagers, you know, just playing Call of Duty 1 or, you know, I mean, that's actually also a completely different but interesting thing, how that is for me. Actually, my first encounter with memes was basically our LAN party group, because we still have these memes. If ever I meet one of those friends, we can still go like, yeah, don't throw smokes there, or, you know, let's go and get the let's go upstairs and capture it, because those were sort of things that we were always doing in especially one map in Call of Duty 1, and it sort of became a meme because someone did something crazy there, and then after that, for years, everyone always said just randomly, you know, you don't want to throw smokes there, even if we're just.
We had the same with in Counter Strike with the P90 and Desert Eagle. Those were the two weapons that we were using all the time.
We actually called the Thompson. We call it Stargate because it was so overpowered that we had this theory that whenever you actually shoot with it, a Stargate opens behind one of the players, and then someone just takes the player to another dimension and he dies.
That's how meme were created.
Yeah, you can also understand that Stargate was a famous sci-fi series in our group back then.
Hmm.
So I have 2004 was a good year for video games. And I have a really cool story about since now I had this, I don't remember that, I had a Pentium 4 probably already at that time. And now probably, yes. But my graphic card was a bit sucky at that time. And then a friend of mine just bought a new computer. And like a few months later, this was before 2004, but anyway. some alpha version of Doom 3 leaked. And it was this one level, like this, it's just a bathroom and then this dog monster comes out. This was the all thing that leaked. And the graphic of Doom 3 at that time,
that was crazy.
Absurd. And we were like, okay. And then you have to, you know, console commands to start it and all these kind of weird things. Then it starts, it's like, oh, this shit, the graphics. It was so epic. And then probably I bought a new graphic card because Half-Life 2 came out. Lol, Doom 3 graphics, shit. Sorry, Doom, but yeah, Half-Life 2 came out. Oops.
Yeah, the source valve really kicked in.
Yeah, that was probably the moment of gaming for me. Like Half-Life 2, it's still my favorite game ever.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, that one actually I did play. So I'm one of those people who probably would get a lot of hate in the internet. So hello, internet, you can hate me because I never personally finished Half-Life 1.
Well, I finished Half-Life 1 last year because I hate the last level so much. And every single time I played Half-Life...
You guys are heretics. You must love it.
Every time I played Half-Life, I would get upset. And then first time the save game corrupted, and then I got fucking angry and didn't play it for a long time.
But you know, if you play now, of course you're gonna hate it because now you're used to logic in any game development level. But at that time, playing at that moment, you had like the full game in one way, like in one gameplay, like very like fast pace. With this scenario, these scripts that were happening, so the story was very, very catchy. But then, in the end, in the extent, when you go in the other dimension, of course, it must be weird. You need to feel weird because logic there is different. You are in a different planet, in a different dimension.
Yeah, so, my problem was that the save game corrupted when I got to Xen at the time, like at the proper time to play it. I didn't play for so long because I was so mad that I didn't want to play it all again. And then I played again many years later. And then I got to Xen again. It's like, fuck this shit. And then I played the Black Mesa remake. And then it stopped before Xen. It's like, motherfucker, at some point.
Yeah.
I just installed it again. I had my save from before. I was like, okay, now I'm going to finish this fucking game. And then
I get your point of view because, you know, if you get used to modern gamings, that part, it's weird. But
you play Half-Life 1 after Half-Life 2, it's very difficult.
I remember, the feeling of, you know, throwing yourself into, like, this portal and then waking up in this new world. The game also felt like that, like all the logic that you used to play before were different. So it was like starting a new game, and you're like, "Oh my god, did I finish the game? Is this another game? What is this?" And when you start realize that, okay, so I'm still the free man, I'm still, you know, fighting for the gaming, for the plot, and you're like, okay, so this is completely different. So it was weird. I actually enjoyed it a lot, and I enjoyed it so much that I bought all the expansions.
Yes, those were
Blue good, Shift, awesome. Opposing Force. My favorite was Opposing Force. Playing
that
as
good stuff.
Marine, that was freaking awesome.
Blue Shift, it was
It was okay. You had like the Barney of the situation. It was actually.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, but not the best. I mean,
Opposing Force was cool.
And then Half-Life 2, and the time when that came out, and the graphics and everything, and Doom 3 was the same year, and there was something else actually the same. Far Cry was the same year.
And I think Halo 1 or Halo 1.
Probably.
Yeah, can be, yeah. If I remember correctly,
because I have this, I used to order a Finnish game magazine called Pelit. Still exists. I used to order it for maybe 10 years or something. Anyway, they had this this one issue, which was this mega issue because it was Half-Life 2 and I think it was Halo as well, or Halo 2, or I don't know. Anyway.
Halo 2, because Halo 1 I think is 2000.
Yeah, probably.
Halo 2 was 2004-ish, somewhere there.
Yeah, and they were sort of these god-tier games. Themselves as well, and obviously everyone in the gaming.
Exactly, 2001 Halo, 2004 Halo 2, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Halo 2 exclusive to Windows Vista, so that's the time of Windows Vista also.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. My friend had an Xbox, so we always played lots of Hot Seat Halo as well. It was actually fun, although I still to this day I'm so bad in console FPS, and I actually never even want to be good.
No, you cannot do it. If people say that you can play FPS on console, they know deep down that it's not possible.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like I don't know, putting your shirt as your pants, and then putting your left shoe to your right foot, and right shoe to your left foot, and then putting your pants on your head.
Yeah. I don't know why nowadays you still find a lot of FPS on console. That doesn't make any sense to
me. Because I guess people got used to that with a controller. If you never played with a mouse, you don't even know.
Yeah, but the level of aim assist you get nowadays, it's ridiculous. If you press a button to go down on sight,
yeah, then it's already aiming.
It's like automatic locking the target, and then you still can, you know, move slightly, but come on, that's not even fun.
It's a completely different topic, but since the games, the old games used to be just by a few people, and they used to be like, you know, inherently puzzle-like. So they were, you had to really figure things out because nobody was telling you anything. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying that that's how they were. Sometimes it's a good thing. But since games are nowadays supposed to be experiences or, you know, well, yeah, they're supposed to give you an experience. They're not necessarily supposed to be puzzles.
That's true. So I kind of miss the arcade part of games. I like the stories, of course. You like the graphics, the sounds. Everything is so advanced nowadays. But you still miss that arcade-ish gameplay.
Somehow the new Doom kind of got that pretty correct.
That one, that's actually what it's exactly the example I had in my mind. That one has still had like the arcade part that had tons of monsters coming to you and you just shoot and jump and...
There are some companies who still make these, let's say, modern arcade games, but sadly they don't sell well enough that it's not really viable. For example, this Finnish company called Housemarque, they are sort of the indie studio who makes that like extremely well designed and extremely like focused arcade games, which are obviously use, you know, modern graphics and so on, but it just doesn't have the audience that it's actually profitable to make that kind of, at least not to spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, it's changed. But actually, going back to this controls in FPS, it's very interesting on the history of Halo, and then when Microsoft bought Bungie and actually Halo got made for the Xbox, and they changed the game so that basically they took away the vertical dimension from the shooting, and most of the game you shoot only horizontally because that's how you do it easily with a controller. So if you play the first Halo, it's really, you don't really shoot up and down very much. They kind of flattened the whole game to make it much better with the console. So in a way, if the shooter is made with a controller in mind, I don't say that it's good, but it's kind of
you can make it a lot better in that way.
It's more classic.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you cannot really play. Like, I mean, Half-Life 2 in a console is kind of fucking stupid because it's made to be on a PC. The aiming is really like a small crosshair compared to this huge Half-Life green circle that is usually in the consoles. And...
Yeah, but that was the advanced part, because also when you play Half-Life 1, you had to aim up and down.
Yeah.
Whereas the first Halo, I understand, it was like more like classical, like playing the first Wolfenstein or...
Yeah, the Doom.
The first Doom.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know sort of how was Italy in the 90s and I guess early 2000s maybe even. But at least the small town I'm from, and this is one part that I actually... I miss from my life. I hope I could have experienced this to actually go to an arcade game hall to play games. I never got to experience this as a kid.
I don't think we really had very much of those. Well, we had some, but I never really went to arcade that much.
I mean, arcade hall like a
place where you go and spend quarters on. You know, different
games. I used to go a lot, but it was more like in summer vacations when I used to go like to my summer house by the sea. I used to have a lot of them, and I used to play that.
Those places, they had a lot of those.
Yeah.
It was more like entertainment, an attraction of the village, kind of.
Yeah,
you know, well, it was like on a city or a small town, but they had it a lot, and I used to play some games on one, and then go with my friends to the second one. It was like a gaming crawling.
Just
play one game there, and then you'd say, because you knew that the second shop kind of had the different games. Yeah, that was fun.
The driving game in those, they were pretty epic, that they had the seat and they kind of
were
inside the kind of the car, and then you had the steering wheel. That is something that you could not really do easily in your house.
The experience was awesome.
Yeah. For me, the only times I could got to play those was basically whenever we went on a cruise, because you can find those on the cruise ships between Sweden and Finland.
Oh.
So whenever we went to those, I always wanted to spend as much money as possible on all of those games. But I mean, obviously they weren't really there wasn't lots of those. So there's maybe two different car games, and then maybe a dance game, and maybe one shooting game or something like this.
Yeah, so, a fighting game. There is always a fighting game.
Yeah. So I mean, that's sort of one thing that I miss. I really hope that I could have experienced when I was a kid, because it seems like when you're a kid, it's even better than any kind of amusement park there could be, because there's so many different games, and it sounds so amazing.
And you didn't have them at home that much at that time. Like now, it would not be the same, because fuck the IKEA, I just go home and
don't find them a lot nowadays. I haven't seen them these.
At least in Helsinki, there's, I think, two or three dedicated arcade halls. They have lots of different games. But overall, I mean, I haven't been to any of those, but I've heard very good things. And I think it's still a fun experience, and I plan to go at some point when I sort of have this moment of nostalgia on me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play some Street Fighter. But anyway,
they still have the old arcades.
Sorry?
They have old arcades. Like, they don't have new games there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they mostly have old games.
Because in Japan, they still have them a lot, and they have new games there also, made for the arcade, kind of. I played Left 4 Dead 2 there, and it was fucking weird in an arcade, but...
So, like, more modern.
Going to the university times, so this is around 2006, it's when me and Nicola got to know each other, and of course video game was the common ground.
I think we met just by talking about video games.
Yes.
Yeah, you play video games? Yeah, I do. Yeah, awesome. We start,
and there are some funny stories. The best two are the one with the Minecraft and one with the orange box.
Oh man, that night was freaking awesome.
The moment that it was still early Minecraft, it was still in beta, alpha even.
Maybe alpha. It was
either alpha
or
beta.
Sure.
Yeah, it was really early times. And then we just, Nicola had it I don't know, did you even have to buy it? No, you can just download it, and it was basically super easy to kind of find the illegal copy. Then we just, what the fuck is this? And I just tried to play. And then I was at his house, and we were just playing this Minecraft, and then at some point you realize that it's light outside.
We
started in the evening at 6 in the morning. We just realized that, oops, we played the whole night.
Yeah.
we both bought the game exactly the same day.
Exactly.
Now we have the game.
Also, that was crazy.
The best experience on the someone plays the other watch, and then you exchange the place and you do all the crap in Minecraft. It was so absurd.
Yeah.
I also bought it when it was, I think it was in beta then. I think it cost like, if I remember correctly, you could like choose the price you wanted to pay.
It was like 15 euro or something like that.
No, when I bought it, it was a lot less. I think it was maximum 5 euros.
No. It's never been that low, I think.
No, it has been. I mean, in the very beginning.
In Alpha, in Alpha was very cheap.
Well, I remember we paid 10 or 15. Well, anyway, that's how we
Oh well. Oh well. Yeah. Yeah, I played it as well, but sort of, I found it interesting, but never got so so into it that I think I played maybe 2 or 3 hours of it.
Yeah, we just had that evening that was just fucking absurd. And
yeah,
then we played actually some more building. Like we were sharing the same save game, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something that they should have implemented. I don't know if they did later on, in a later stage, to have like cloud maps that you can play together.
I have now servers for
I know they had servers, but they were different from the single player at that time. I don't know how they changed this later on. But
I think it's probably a completely different game at this point.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
for sure.
As has been for a long time, mostly because when Microsoft bought Mojang.
Yeah, for 2.5 billion.
Yeah, that was a pretty good deal for him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't actually know if Notch ever did anything after that.
He started a new game that never finished it.
Hmm. Well, I guess he doesn't really have to do anything. If he doesn't want to.
So the other story, then Johanna, you can have. Do you have time to think about some funny stories about university times? The Orange Box was coming out. So this was after Half-Life 2 Episode 1. So of course we are both super hype about anything Half-Life 2 at that point. So Orange Box was. Well, the best deal in video game history.
I think so too.
So you get Half-Life 2 Episode 2, that it's the best Half-Life game, if you consider the episode part of like its own games. But Portal, and nobody knew what Portal was. It was just this Valve game that was so weird. And then it was Team Fortress 2. Okay, that's the least of the three, but still pretty cool game. And then the game comes out, and this is on Steam, and everything. Steam has been for a long time at this point. And then, well, it's a university time, so the game comes out, I don't remember, in the morning. Then we are like, me and Nicola.
Yeah, on Steam. I think they released it in the morning.
Yeah, so it was like 9 in the morning, and we had to go to the other city, to the university. It's like, no, okay. So we have to try before we leave. I mean, it's just the hype is too high. So you try Half-Life Episode 2, then I try Portal. And then when we meet, we just speak about this the whole day, so not going to university would have been the same. And just opening the fucking menu of the game, it was like, oh my god, because Half-Life had the background of the menu was part of the level.
Yeah. Oh. Did we go to university that day?
Yes, we went. It's like, we did. Oh no, man, we have to go. Because we were going to
crazy
from the same train. But that was the time I was the most hype ever in my life for a game.
Yeah, that was very hype.
Portal is actually a sort of, I think it fits very beautifully with the rest of the Valve games, mostly because it's completely original. And one of the reasons why it's completely original, I don't know if you know the sort of origin story of Portal, but that, like many others, was like a mod first. Well, I mean, that wasn't really a mod, but it was,
it was another game at that point. Completely different.
No, not completely different. I mean, it was a game jam. I think the game jam was, if I remember correctly, it might have been hosted by Valve. Or for some reason, maybe they used Source.
Yeah, maybe.
Engine or something like this. But anyway, it was a game jam game. And they had this one programmer who was really sort of good, but they didn't really have any designers for the game jam. So they sort of just, you know, did something, and they ended up with the sort of primary or like this first version of the portal gun. So they ended up actually being able to make these portals. And then I remember that the people at Valve, who for some reason inspected it at some point or something like this, they were really impressed by the technology of actually making that happen. That's sort of one of the reasons. I think they basically hired the entire team to just work on portal at that point.
If you think about that, just a side note, Valve made Half-Life, they made Half-Life 2, and they made the episodes. Every other single game that Valve made was a fucking mod. Counter-Strike, Day of Defeat,
Team Fortress. Portal,
Left 4 Dead. They bought the company.
Yeah, but, they didn't even make them. They were like...
they hired
them. External people, they were doing the mod. And then, hey, why don't you work with us to continue your ideas?
yeah.
I mean, best job ever.
good
hey,
times.
The game is good. Now it's ours. Nice.
Good times.
When Left 4 Dead 1 came out, it was... It was between, I think I was like roughly 18, 19, 20, something like that then. And we had four players just sort of doing nothing for a weekend. And one of these guys, their parents went away. So we went to their house and we had a four-player LAN party. And that was actually the first LAN party where I ever was, where we actually drank beer. So what we ended up doing was play Left 4 Dead 2 and drink fuckloads of beer. So in the end, sort of you're lying on a sofa or, you know, nice chair and you're playing something. And at some point it starts to be more and more difficult because you're drinking beer. And B, because the beer cans are slightly occluding your screen. You can't really see it anymore because you're like putting the beer cans on top of it and just trying to build a frame out of those. That was that.
Nicola, do you remember the first evening of Left 4 Dead 1?
Yeah. Where were we?
We were in our house at the university again.
Yeah, right.
And it was pretty cool because we have this round table. So we could fit four people in the round table. But I don't know if you played Left 4 Dead 1, the time it came out, because we were there it was coming out in the evening.
I think we bought it like 1 week or 1 month after. So it was like a very new game, but I don't think we...
Okay, because we bought it before. And actually, Nicola was the one who said to us, hey, do you have to pre-order this game?
Yeah.
Nobody knew what the fuck this game was about. And he was like, no, it's a five game, we have to buy it. And then we bought the 4-pack.
Yeah.
But then they screw up and they didn't release it for several hours. It was working. And then, Valve at that time was still a good guy, Valve. So when they finally managed to solve the problem with the servers, they gave everybody a free copy if you had this 4-pack. And... So then the evening was really late at night then. And then we were us four playing Left 4 Dead, and now finally we understood what it was. And that is a game we play a lot in LAN.
I played
a lot of the game, like really a lot. I even met a girl playing with the game.
that's so good, sorry.
she became my girlfriend. At some point, so yeah, that was actually fun.
Yeah,
this shows how video games, they put people together, even from different countries.
Yeah, connecting people.
Yes.
I also liked the versus mode on the game. It was a weird versus mode.
That was actually really nice mode.
Was awesome.
And I have a sort of. I'm slightly saddened that there was this game called Noskoth, which was basically the versus mode of Left 4 Dead. Basically exactly the same. So you have two teams with, I think, four or five players each, and they are completely anti-symmetrical, the teams, like in Left 4 Dead as well. So basically you have... In Noskoth, it was based on the Legacy of Kain universe. So you have vampires against medieval humans.
Mm-hmm.
And that game was this Nosgoth game. It was free to play, but it was actually very well made and extremely fun. I never paid anything for it. I'm not one of those people who actually spend a lot of money on free to play games, so I didn't spend any money. I guess that's why it didn't do so well. But just an interesting side note for anyone who doesn't know that Psyonix, who is the developer of Rocket League, they also made Nosgoth. And that's sort of why I'm slightly saddened that it didn't do well, because, I mean, it was a very nice game. And I also liked Left 4 Dead versus mode as well.
Okay.
There was lots of interesting strategical things, or rather tactical things you have to keep in mind when you play the versus mode.
Yeah, I think that was my first multiplayer online game that you had to coordinate with your team in a very precise way. I mean, playing online multiplayer games, it was okay. I mean, sometimes you had to chat your teammates, hey, go to attack, hey, use the defend. But never like Counter-Strike, of course, that would be that. But me, as personal experience, this one was the one that I had to have a microphone to play with.
Mm.
And Counter-Strike, I could play without a microphone. At the time, I was not even probably very good at English, or I wasn't confident or whatsoever. But yeah, with this one, you had to be like, hey, guys, you need to attack together. You need to defend.
Yeah.
The versus was like with the boomer, and then you have the hunter, and then you could actually merge the attack together.
Yeah, yeah. You could actually come up with even with a smoker. I mean, because you have lots of these.
Yeah, right.
These, single target stuns. So the hunter is a single target stun, and the smoker is a single target stun.
Right.
And then you have the smoker, boomer, which works like it just creates chaos. So yeah.
But it was really cool, that game, because it had this versus completely its own thing. Like, it was so different. But at the same time, we mostly played with other people from the university, mostly the PvE part of the game, like the missions, mm-hmm. and we were like going for the hardest difficulty and doing it like when you start to build your own challenge, like we cannot lose any life in the whole thing, or nobody can ever die. And
expert was pretty tough.
Yes. Then you play it now and it's super easy because you played so many other games. Left 4 Dead 2, that was so much more difficult.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was so great. So then Half-Life 3.
Dude, this is a very sad topic.
Yeah, this was just a topic to end the podcast before.
I'm going to be very, very sad about it.
So, yeah, I wanted to close before. There is so much more to speak about, but we are going to have more episodes, maybe on them, more few last year's gaming, when you actually remember what happened. But on the Half-Life 3, since that's not going to happen from Valve for sure, but there are actually two mods that are trying now to build a Half-Life 3 from the original story that the writer from Valve wrote about the game. So maybe there is hope.
Yeah, maybe. We can kind of, have a game Half-Life-ish 3-like.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this in some earlier episode, at least me and Joe, at least partly. Because if I remember correctly, I don't know if we recorded that conversation, but at least we've talked about this. I think it would be a huge mistake for anyone to sort of make a commercial version of Half-Life 3. Because, well, okay, maybe not a huge mistake, but I don't think the game would be... it either wouldn't be Half-Life, or it wouldn't be a good game, considered that it's a game that's released sort of today or, these times. Because the Half-Life concept it's such an old game. I mean, the second one came 14, 15 years ago. And if you want to make a new version of that, it either has to be, it has to be a game that is Half-Life, and you sort of market it that, hey, this is not the modern game, this is a Half-Life game. So, when you start playing, you know, pay attention or keep in mind, this is Half-Life. This is not, you know, a game that's released until 2019. Or if they do the, you know, this is a new game, go for it. Oh, it's also called Half-Life 3. There's going to be sort of this great division between people who really enjoyed the first games. And, you know, there's lots of people who want Half-Life 3 to be something. And then there's, I mean, there also might be a bunch of those young people who have never even heard of, and they just find, oh, it's a fun game and, you know, play it. But I don't think Half-Life 3 could actually be, I think it's a bad mistake for anyone.
Half-Life 3 should have been episode 3 done at the time after episode 2. Like, they missed the time, and then after that they would not have done it. But this fan project, it's a fan project.
Yeah,
nobody cares. Exactly. And everybody that love Half-Life 2, play Half-Life 2 every few years. It's still the best game for me. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it can be exactly the same.
Exactly.
As old as you want, but if you love that concept, it doesn't matter. So, of course, a fan project is going to be exactly trying to be that.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is my point exactly that. I think the fan project, if either of them ever is finished and, you know, they end up being playable, I think that's the exact right way of doing Half-Life 3. I don't think you can make a commercial product of it.
Yeah, or if Valve would have done it, like, continuing the episodes and done it in the same style. Doom did it properly. He made the old game in a new way, but still with a super arcade feel. So you can do it, but it's really, really this thin line that's, and Valve hasn't made a game since so long, so I don't
know
how to do it anymore.
But also Doom and Half-Life are completely different kind of games.
Of course.
Doom, it can, you know, it really works because the selling point of Doom is to be batshit crazy, fun arcade without, you know, you don't have to use your brain for anything. You can basically just use your eyes and your hands. You have to see where's the demon and then shoot it. Whereas Half-Life always was, you know, it was always sort of somehow the cutting edge of FPS gaming, and it was always somehow this more.
Yeah, expectations were too high.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a weird situation for them, probably.
I still find, okay, now then we're gonna end this, but it is just such an interesting topic that if you think about it, if you now 2004 is Half-Life 2, that game was the first game that really used physics as part of the gameplay. Nowadays, physics in video game is, I don't want to say so much better, because it's not so much better. It's better, but it's more or less physics in game. I still haven't found a game that really uses the physics in the game so much as Half-Life.
Yeah.
And it's been so many years.
I think it depends on, this is could be a lengthy topic, but just shortly, it very much depends on the genre you're thinking of.
Yeah, I personally still have to find any game that does it that way. Of course, first person, like not an adventure game, but, or whatever, like shooter that has those mechanics.
Okay. So yeah, maybe in that more narrow concept more narrow genre, it might be true, but there are lots and lots of games who actually have even more physics based gameplay than Half-Life does, but maybe in a completely different context.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just that it adds so much to the shooter genre itself that you never see it used anymore. It's like, this is so weird.
Yeah, that could be a one quarter of a topic for next time.
Yeah. Think about this the next time, and now it's been rambly for
physics in games
quite some time. So next time we can continue this this discussion. And well, for now we can close this. And before we stop, of course, as usual, come to Twitter at @STG_podcast. Write to us, follow us, do something, retweet the podcast. That's the only social network we have, because we are not social network people. We can speak about
that. We are not social.
No, not social at all. yeah, but otherwise, thanks for coming this far. And hey, we started with Juhana to do this hashtag at the end of the episode, like another podcast. I'm listening, they do it every time.
Okay.
Invent a podcast for this time.
You mean a hashtag, not a podcast.
Invent a podcast. Invent an hashtag for this episode. Let's see if someone...
Hashtag nostalgia games.
Yeah, nostalgia.
Nostalgia games. All right. Let's see if someone gets to this far to the episode and tweeted us. All right. Until the next time, have a nice evening, night, morning, day, whenever you are.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.